Welcome to Great Australian Lives.
For Tobin Brothers Funerals,
celebrating lives. Here's your host, Laura Turner.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner. Our guest tonight may very well lead us into territory we're not particularly comfortable talking about, and it's that very fact that helps perhaps contribute to thousands of Australian women and girls silently going without something that most of us take for granted. But unlike most of us, when we're confronted with a challenging issue, our guest didn't ask, why is no one doing anything about this? But rather she questioned herself and thought, what's stopping me from doing something? With grit and determination and a whole lot of empathy for women less fortunate than her, she started Share the Dignity, which from humble beginnings has grown to become a national charity, with more than 5,000 volunteers Australia-wide spearheading multiple initiatives aimed at giving dignity to women. It is my pleasure to welcome the founder and managing director of Share the Dignity to Great Australian Lives, Rochelle Courtenay. How are you?
I'm fabulous, thank you. And you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thank you for being with us on the show tonight. You've got a really, really interesting story to tell, and I want to give the audience a lighthearted trigger warning here, because as you know, we're talking about something that sadly some people aren't comfortable with, and there's a little bit of work to do in Australia on this topic, and not a lot of people would have heard this on the radio before, but we are going to talk about menstruation and female hygiene products. That is your bread and butter, Rochelle. Why do you think it's still taboo?
I think it's just a topic that has been covered up for so many years, and I think about a massive campaign we have got planned for this year called Period Pride, and what we're trying to do, if you think back 20, 30 years ago, it was so taboo to be gay or to love somebody who wasn't what we deemed to be acceptable. But today we look at, you're allowed to love whoever you want to, you're allowed to marry whoever you want to. And I look at how far that has come, and that is my absolute wish for Share the Dignity and for Australians, to remove the shame and stigma around menstruation and periods, and just the fact that 50% of us get our period. And for those that don't, you come from somebody who did. So it really affects us all. So why are we not talking about it? Why is it that 67% of women will still cover up pads in their shopping trolley? Mm. Like, how do we still be like that here in Australia?
Yeah, you make me think back to when I was 12 years old and doing exactly the same thing, and sort of being scared to tell the parent I was with, well, this is what I need you to get from the shelf, and shying away from it, and then, you know, finding another way to make that happen. Do you think is it young girls or older women that still need a bit of help, you know, being proud of it?
I think it's all. I even think it's men. So I think when we're about to launch a campaign on International Women's Day called Period Pride with the world's biggest communicator, Facebook and Instagram, and it is aimed at girls from 8 to 18. But there's also that big amount of shame and stigma that is still carried for mums who are in their 50s, 40s, 30s, that we need to have everybody come along. You know, we're excited that we want to include, you know, the NRL, the male sports as well, because that's who men are listening to. We need everybody on board to change the narrative around menstruation or periods or whatever word you want to use to describe a normal bodily function that happens to half the population every month.
And in circles of friends, you know, there are so many nicknames for it. I won't go through them, but, you know, we've all got our funny ways of talking about it, but that in itself is avoiding the real terminology, isn't it? And that there might be, we make a joke out of it and have funny names for that very reason. We don't want to actually say that word.
Yeah, that's right. And it goes back a long, long way. And I think that we have come a long way. And I know when I started Share the Dignity 6 years ago, I could not have Googled a picture of a man or a child, even a girl, holding a packet of pads and tampons. And I'm so very proud of the fact that, you know, one of the very first pictures that I saw was a man in an ATO office in Canberra holding a packet of pads and tampons that he was about to donate. And I was really proud
awesome.
Of that at that
yeah.
stage.
Yeah.
You know, and now I look at it and that we've got netball carnivals where girls, you know, their teams have to bring in sanitary items to be able to participate. I think we're getting there, but we really need to have a big push on it here in Australia.
Do you know one thing that just popped into my mind, an indication that we do have a lot of work to do, is the ads where they pour clear or blue water over a sanitary item. I mean, we're still there, aren't we, in that regard?
Yeah, we are. And if we do, like Libra came out last year with a great campaign which showed real blood, and there was such uproar about it. But yet we can watch football weekend after weekend where somebody knocks their head and runs into somebody, splits their eye, and there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, or even a violent movie and someone might get their head blown off. I mean, it's even more graphic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think that there is such a long way to go from there. And, you know, you can only roar for a certain amount of time before that roar doesn't become heard anymore. Mm. So I think from Share the Dignity's perspective, we've come out and we've gone, right, we acknowledge that this problem of period poverty exists in Australia. How do we fix it? And the first initial thing was, how do we get product to women experiencing homelessness, having fled domestic violence, our drought-stricken farming communities, our remote Indigenous communities? We've done a really good job of making sure that we can get the product to women in need. But the product, the problem is multi-pronged. It's really, how do we get the product? How do we remove the shame and stigma? And then how do we educate? And I don't believe we can educate appropriately until we remove that shame and stigma, because there's still kids sitting in the classroom going, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about that, because there's such a big gap between talking about it. You know, we've got a study about to come out, and it will be really interesting, because if you talk to so many women, their mothers never even talked to them about their periods, and they just got them and they didn't know.
God, I remember these exact conversations in year seven, and a person who will remain nameless in my class who actually passed out during the talk about periods. But, yeah, I would hope that these days, you know, that sort of thing wouldn't happen, and kids would be a little better about digesting that sort of information. But clearly, as you say, there is a long way to go. I want to hear from you, Rochelle. How did this start for you? I mean, you don't walk out of school or university and say, I'm going to start a charity about periods, do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was 40, so I was, I think, 44. I had my own personal training business, and my daughters were, you know, 16 and 14. And I think at that stage, if they were young, it probably would never have happened. Yeah. But I was, you know, verging on the, I don't really need you anymore kind of mum kind of thing, empty, needing something to do. And I read the article that was written that talked about how many women were experiencing homelessness in Australia, and that was 44,000 women at that stage. And for me, that was quite a big number that I'd never expected, but I did expect that if women were experiencing homelessness, they would find it hard to have somewhere to, where would they sleep, how would they get food. I'd never ever considered how they dealt with their period, and like everybody else, they got their period, right? But I'd never for a million years thought, oh, they're using socks or wadded up toilet paper to deal with their period. And this was something that I couldn't unhear. And it actually, after reading that article, it wasn't the first article that had ever been written. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh, the standard that you walk past is the standard that you accept. So I asked all of my personal training clients to bring me a packet of pads or tampons for every wine they had that month. Huh. Yeah, it was a great start. So, you know,
someone bought a dump truck.
And then I also had our local counsellor who came on board and said, I'll put a collection box in our office. And at that stage, it was just an empty reflex box.
That's how you started, humble beginnings. But you, 6 years later, you've got 5,000 volunteers and have collected almost 3 million period products. That's amazing. I mean, did that go quickly?
It felt like I was doing a 100-metre sprint over the last 4 years.
Over a marathon distance.
Yeah. I just figured that there wasn't a woman in Australia who wouldn't be empathetic to another woman having to use socks or newspaper in their underwear to deal with their period. And I just thought it's also one of those things that you couldn't unhear. And so it also needed to be really simple, because women are so time poor. So getting our volunteers and getting that people to come on board to help us was probably the easiest thing, because women are so good at solving problems and being part of a society where we want a better future for our girls and our women. So that piece was really easy. How to collect was simple. Let's just collect twice a year and let's do our It's in the Bag Christmas appeal and let's keep it really simple. Let's make sure. Yeah. But to have big corporations like Woolworths and Bunnings come on board,
that's awesome.
Been just a blessing.
Yeah, that is awesome. Speaking of the big corporations and their support, is it frustrating to you that we pay so much for feminine hygiene products? I mean, do you think that they should be cheaper? I know we removed the GST off it 2 years ago. Should never have been there in the first place. We still pay a fair bit, though, don't we?
Yeah, and we pay a fair bit for lots of things in Australia. Do you know what I mean? It's just the way that it is. I mean, Libra is probably one of the only brands that is actually made in Australia. Mm. The other brands are all made overseas. The cost is, the cost is, right?
Yeah.
We can't do anything about it. What our job at Share the Dignity is to make sure that no girl ever misses out on a day of school because she doesn't have access to sanitary items because her family can't afford it. Mm. I remember being in a school in Hampton Park in Victoria and we installed a Dignity vending machine in that school, and a young girl talked about how the week before she'd got her period on the Tuesday in the morning and she'd bled on the back of her uniform and on the seat and she was so embarrassed and the boys laughed at her when she went home. And she texted her mum to say, can you get me some sanitary items on the way home? And her mum rang her instantly. Oh, I'll start to cry. And said, I can't, babe. I don't get paid till Thursday. And now that young girl missed 2.5 days of school that month because her mum, like many, lives paycheck to paycheck and she just couldn't afford them.
Wow. What a story. Well, it just speaks to exactly why you're doing this. It is incredible. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Rochelle Courtenay, founder and managing director of Share the Dignity, in just a moment.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Period poverty is when somebody is unable to afford the very basic essentials to be able to deal with their period. Ending period poverty is what we want to do here at Share the Dignity. We want to ensure that no girl ever misses out on a day of education. We want to ensure that women can actually go to work because they have access to the very basic of essentials. There is no way that women should be choosing either to buy sanitary items or buy food to feed themselves and their children. Sanitary items are a right and not a privilege. I would cry if we didn't have funding to be able to stock those vending machines. I think one of my biggest nightmares would be to have a young woman know that that machine is there and know that she can deal with her period, but go to press the button and nothing comes out because we haven't done our job to make sure that that machine is constantly stocked. Cut that cry baby stuff out. I love my birthday. I am very excited to be turning 50, and this year I will be pledging all of my gifts to be able to make a difference for the girls and women. No gifts, just donate so that we can make sure that we can keep stocking the vending machines. If you're having a birthday this year, it's super easy to get involved. You can register your birthday by heading to www.sharethedignity.org.au. Follow the steps. It's super easy.
Bloody legends!
Well, welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner, and our guest tonight is Rochelle Courtenay, founder and managing director of the national charity Share the Dignity. We just heard some audio from a video you posted, Rochelle, on the Share the Dignity Facebook page on your 50th birthday. Now, you got really emotional, and I've seen already in our chat tonight that this does really pull at your heart. Strings this charity. Why? I mean, it's obvious why, but it's so personal for you, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I had suffered severely with endometriosis and I just couldn't fathom what it would be like to not have access to sanitary items, let alone the anxiety of, you know, I've had a million accidents in my lifetime with my periods. So I couldn't imagine what it would be like to feel like that, not have a home, having fled domestic violence, living in your car. Like, the very simple thing that we could do is donate packets of pads or tampons, and to make sure that those machines are always stocked is really important to me. It's just, I don't know. I just think that when you know better, you can do better. And I think that's just probably...
Yeah. And the thought of a young girl who is in need and vulnerable going and pressing the button and nothing coming out does... It hurts, that thought, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think that if you look at last year and what COVID did to the charity, and I think there were lots of charities that really went into a bit of a fetal position, because the way that we normally raised funds was, you know, having a massive high tea, which we hold 12 of them all over Australia. Some events had 800 women attend and 600. So all of those were cancelled for last year. So that was $500,000 in revenue that we would have normally used to be able to continue stocking the machine, the Dignity vending machines. Mm. And a Dignity vending machine, for anyone who doesn't know at home, was a world first. It's a vending machine that dispenses a free period pack. And those machines are installed in homelessness services, in domestic violence refuges, as well as some of the legal places and places where they get help, in poverty-stricken schools and in some low social economic hospitals and some libraries and some places that we know that women who need help, they're there for them. So making sure that it's okay for us to put those vending machines on the walls, but to not be able to afford to have stock, to keep stocking those machines, would be really neglectful of us as a charity. And you know, while we're a charity, we're also a business, and we're in the business of making a difference. And my job specifically is to make sure that we have sustainability in our charity and to make sure that what we say we're going to do, we can continue to do.
Yeah, and if you're a listener who is hearing this tonight and you want to get involved and help out, you can go to the Share the Dignity Facebook page or sharethedignity.org.au, and there'll be directions there as to how you can help out. Now, Rochelle, I know that you were born and raised in Sandgate in Brisbane. You are a middle child?
I was a middle child.
Did you suffer the syndrome?
I do suffer. I still suffer the syndrome, absolutely. But I still also live in Sandgate. And I don't think I would ever move to anywhere
really?
Else in the world.
That's beautiful. And you say that having been a child, there were some tumultuous times for you, weren't there? Your mum fled a violent relationship just 3 months after you were born. And so you already had that insight into vulnerability and a woman in need of assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. And the damage that did to my mother even then, but even now, my mum every year has to go and have tests because of the damage that he did to her brain, to the front lobe section of her brain. It goes on. It has lasting impacts in life. And you know, I also had a very violent brother who always
older brother
an older brother who has passed away. He killed himself at 22. But it was always violent. He was always violent towards me. And so it was a life full of violence.
Yeah. So you've seen the grassroots of many of the people that you are helping. It's incredible that you've managed to turn, you break the cycle. And were you in a cycle you had to break?
Absolutely. And then you go into another relationship, you know, that is continuing on the domestic violence. It's just never ending. And I just know that when my girls were little, I was just like, this is not what I want for you. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to go.
So you left your own relationship.
I'll never forget remembering meeting this amazing young woman, and she was 14 when she left her home of violence, because living on the streets for her was safer than living in her home. Mm-hmm. And she said she used to steal socks from the laundromat to deal with her period. Imagine using somebody else's socks in your underwear to deal with your period.
That is horrific.
But how resilient she was.
Yeah.
And she just knew that she couldn't stay in that home anymore.
That's just heartbreaking. And I love that anyone listening who might need your service is hearing you talk about the fact that you so understand this issue, because a lot of the time, I know people who might be vulnerable can go, oh, what do they know? You know, they're too big for me. But you've lived and breathed this since you were born. You really get those people you're helping. That's wonderful.
I wish I didn't.
Yeah, well, it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I think that, you know, I do know people that are empathetic to women who've had to live through family violence and so forth, but I know that I know what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've been very open and honest in talking about another dark time in your life, and people hearing you talk tonight might be surprised to learn that you were actually jailed for 6 months for pleading guilty to fraud charges. That was a really difficult time for you, wasn't it? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and for any mother, I was in my late 30s and I could have been put away on an island in Fiji. Being taken away from my daughters was probably the hardest thing.
Yep.
So to not be able to see them, love them and do what I did best, which was to be a mum, was the hardest thing ever. But I also think that while I would never choose to have done it again, it certainly has put me on a different path. Some of the stories that I heard in jail were just life-changing, absolutely life-changing. And the trauma and the impact of the women that are in jail, why are we not helping them? Yes. Most of those women come from a life of trauma that has never been dealt with.
Yes, yes. I've heard similar stories. I've not been in the position that you've been in, but I understand exactly what you're saying there. Did that experience help you form that passion to create Share the Dignity as well?
I think the empathy to understanding what women would go through, and I know that there are actually women in jail who choose to offend to go in there during the winter months because they don't have any other choice. Now, could you imagine what life that is? And they're just called revolving doors in there, and there is just so little dignity for so many of the women in there, and they have little to no self-worth at all. Yeah. So I think Share the Dignity really is about being able to make the difference. And it is one of the reasons why many times I've nearly given it up as well, because people want to throw the fact that I have been in jail in my face as if it was a bad thing.
And it should keep you down.
And do you know what? That's who I was back then, but I'm a very different person now. And I'm a different person to who I was last week, and I will be a different person next week. That's my job.
I was going to ask you actually whether you obviously do believe in redemption and the fact that people grow and change and shouldn't be held back by mistakes they've made in the past. And obviously you very much believe in that.
Absolutely. I believe that, well, that's if the person chooses to change, and we give them tools in life to be able to do that.
Yep.
And I feel like that's probably a blessing. That's something that I've had the opportunity to be part of, right? But that was my choice. But for other women who don't get that choice and having to come out of jail maybe and having to go back into another abusive relationship, how do they ever get to get off that cycle?
Yeah, that is. And there's so many women and some who may be listening tonight who are in that very situation, and our hearts go out to them, don't they?
Absolutely. But, you know, as a society, we need to be looking at fixing childhood trauma so that we're not having people paying the price for generation after generation after generation. And what's that cost on society in the first place?
And there is so much in that subject to talk about. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Tobin Brothers now offer fully live streamed services so that anyone who cannot attend the funeral of a loved one can still view the service and participate. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Share the Dignity founder Rochelle Courtenay just after the break.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Just for one second, remember the last time you were caught out not having some form of period product when you needed it most. Now take another few seconds and imagine you regularly did not have access to or could not afford period products. Try and imagine the stress and anxiety and embarrassment this could cause you as a woman, and maybe worse as a mother for your daughters. This month, we are partnering with Share the Dignity, an amazing organisation that supports women and children across Australia experiencing poverty, homelessness or domestic violence. They do this by distributing period products to those in need and are working tirelessly towards ending period poverty here in Australia. For every one of these exclusive pink sandwich keepers sold, Tupperware Australia will be donating $2 with the goal of donating $50,000 to Share the Dignity. Know that your purchase of this container is supporting women in need and giving them back the dignity they deserve.
Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. Our guest is Rochelle Courtenay, founder and managing director of Share the Dignity, a national charity whose mission is to end period poverty. Rochelle, you started from very humble beginnings, but that is a massive sponsor, Tupperware, and I know you have a few. How did you go from being a personal trainer to starting this charity to approaching some of these huge companies and getting them on board? That would have been a huge learning curve.
Yeah, I think I've learnt the most in the last 6 years than I probably ever have in all of my life, right from how to do Excel spreadsheets through to smart
Can you teach me?
I think, and I'll touch on what I'd already touched on before, I don't think that there is a woman in Australia who wouldn't be empathetic to another woman or girl having to use socks and newspapers. Yes. So what I needed to do right from the very go was talk to the businesses that were already talking to the women we could get to donate.
But how do you get them to take you seriously? Because you knock on the door, you pick up the phone, you cold call, you say, hello, I've started a charity, help me. I mean, they need to make responsible choices, and that's no disrespect, but they need to know that you're serious and have the outreach. How do you get them to take you seriously?
You know, I think that this is where this charity is not just about me. It is about this connection of so many people, and our sheroes and our heroes have played such a vital part to Share the Dignity. And I remember when we very first started, we had an amazing shero who worked for Coles. Mm. And she tried there were 26 Coles stores who come on as soon as we started. Now, we weren't even a registered charity. Mm. Little did I know at the very beginning that you needed to be a registered charity just to collect pads and tampons. We never thought of collecting money. Yeah. Then I needed to have a board of directors, a constitution. I needed to have licenses and permits in every state. All of that was just about surrounding myself with amazing people and knowing what my skill set was, and then using the skill set of everybody else around me. If anyone gave a sniff or an inkling that they could help me, they were on board. So remembering, I used to train clients from 5:30 in the morning through to 1 o'clock each day, and then I'd go back from 4 till 6. So my time was so very precious. I think I worked maybe 20 hours a day for the first 4 years. It was a tailspin of how did we do it. But it was the shiros who somebody always knew somebody who always knew somebody. It was always an open door. And it was one of those things which people couldn't unhear. But as we had Terry White Chemists who came on board very early on.
Yeah.
Now, there aren't very many charities where a business could actually make money from the charity. You had to go in and buy the product and leave the product in the collection box. So that was kind of unique for Share the Dignity.
Yeah, okay.
I really played that piece as well. And then when Woolworths came on board, that was just an incredible way to be able to do it. But Bunnings and our It's in the Bag, I literally called them out on Facebook and just said, hey, can you help?
Yep.
And they replied back the next day. But that was because we had a volunteer, a shiro, who worked at Bunnings at head office. So it was never just me. It was always all of these connected people who passionately believed in what we did.
And let's talk about some of those, as you call, sheroes, obviously female heroes. So sheroes and heroes you have working for you, many thousands, 5,000, is it?
5,700.
Wow, so nearly 6,000. You must have some incredible, are there some standouts to you that just have warmed your heart?
They all give their time, and there is nothing more precious than their time, right? But yeah, there is some incredible women. There are some incredible stories in there, you know, where we talk about how family violence has touched so many people. And I mean, we had a packing day here the other day where we had volunteers come in and help us pack. And we had this amazing woman who is in a wheelchair who is also a volunteer, but she has also been through family violence. Do you know what I mean? Like so many incredible. I remember early on, maybe back in 2016, we had a volunteer who used to help us answer the PMs on our Facebook page. She had no arms and no legs. She used to answer them with her Apple pad and her pen.
In her mouth.
And she never felt so valued in all of her life. She was 23 years old. And just by being
awesome.
Able to get her to help us. It's, you know, like there's so many amazing stories out there for those women.
That is absolutely awesome. And you all work together in having some really big projects, don't you? And even with the Share the Dignity vending machines, that is, as you said, a world first. That is an incredible idea. Was that yours?
Yes, and it was literally, I had so many no's, so many no, we cannot do that because the vending machine is free, right? And the vending machine also...
Yeah, there's no money.
You know, a lot of what I do comes from my gut and from, like, I had a dream that some kids had left all of the products all over the floor. So I then started to go, let's put a timing mechanism on it so that they can only press the button once every 3 minutes or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So our vending machines are in hospitals and in places all over Australia where it is a 10-minute delay, but in schools we put that down to 3 minutes so that girls can use them in their morning teas and lunchtime. But they're all remote.
Good
we can
thinking.
Remotely change any of them. So
okay.
I mean, I'm so very proud of them because they allow, and I have been where women have said, I was in Cairns when we put a vending machine in, and a woman said, I came in here on Monday battered and bruised after having fled domestic violence. And this is the third time I've been into this services for help. And she still had bruising on her. And she said, I come in, I needed help for a home. I needed food. I needed medical help. I needed my daughter to get into therapy. She said, then I got my period on Tuesday afternoon. She said, I just sat there and cried and I just used wadded up toilet paper because I couldn't go back out there and ask them for help. She said, then your vending machine was installed on the Wednesday. And she said, I could just have my tampons whenever I wanted them. And this is the relief that she was talking about. And that she said, you know, I was just so anxious about my period and everything. It was just one less thing that they needed to worry
that's
about.
Right.
And if that's all we do, then that's all we do.
And that's something so basic and something that so many of us take for granted. You know, as a teenager, your mum might get it for you and then you start earning money in a job and you start getting it yourself. And then, you know, as a well-employed woman myself, you know, it's just part of the weekly shopping. But for so many people, it's not. It's not like the milk and bread, is it?
No, and we have... You know, even before COVID, we had 3 million Australians living below the poverty line. Mm. You know, what's going to shake and fall from the tree? I think there's like 5 million Australians who will live below the poverty line. You've got to imagine at least 1 million of those are menstruating women.
Yeah, yeah.
And girls that really cannot afford them and will not talk about it.
Yes.
So installing the vending machines means that they don't have to ask anybody. They just get dignified access to the sanitary items.
There's something true to this that I've noticed in our conversation. There's two sides, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's, of course, supplying people who need the physical products. But then there's the other side of this, isn't there, who people who might have the products or not, but fall victim to the stigma and can't talk about it. So we're dealing with two separate issues here, aren't we?
Yeah, and that's why period poverty is so multi-pronged, right? Mm. And you can't, while we've spent the last 6 years working out our systems on how to get the donated items to the people, we kind of got that jam done now. What we need to do is to remove that shame and stigma so that we can make sure that when we're sending a pallet load of product out to an Indigenous community, that they'll still receive that help, or, you know, that they've got a cupboard in the domestic violence refuge that the women feel confident enough that they can just go and get them when they need them. They're still hiding around that shame and stigma.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Rochelle Courtenay from Share the Dignity up next.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Our guest tonight is Rochelle Courtenay, founder and managing director of Share the Dignity, a national charity whose mission is to end period poverty. Since 2015, Share the Dignity has distributed more than 2.8 million packets of pads and tampons, nearly 4,000 menstrual cups, made 613,000 It's in the Bag donations and funded some 350 dignity vending machines. Rochelle is with me now, and something that I noticed around Christmas time, Rochelle, with many of the people I follow on Instagram and social media, a lot of the mummy bloggers, one in particular, they were doing drives, you know, with those bags and helping, you know, doing those dignity drives and getting people to donate. Social media must have been very helpful to you.
Yeah, It's in the Bag is like my favourite child. It is just Christmas's way of giving back to a woman who may be spending Christmas in a domestic violence shelter and is not going to get a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
And we all have too much stuff.
Yep.
Right? I don't know any of my friends that don't have too many things in their bathroom, and that's where It's in the Bag came from. It came from cleaning out my bathroom cupboard and putting them into some handbags that I'd finished with and taking them to a refuge and going, hey, guys, do you guys want these? And then it just kind of started. Mm. But, yes, social media, I couldn't – Share the Dignity wouldn't even exist. What would I have done otherwise?
Yeah.
Would I put a, you know, front page paper advert out and go on
classifieds?
Donate? It would never have worked.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen some. Rebecca Little is one in particular that I'll give a shout out to. She's an incredible woman and a mummy blogger, but I saw her helping, doing incredible stuff over the Christmas period. So well done to all those people who care. Rochelle, what is next on the horizon for Share the Dignity? What do we do 2021? Are you still picking up the pieces from the pandemic, or is there big things on the horizon for you?
Yeah, look, we're really excited about 2021 because we know that our collection drives are in March and in August, and we just need more people to donate to those. Last year, our numbers were down because we were in lockdown in March, so collection boxes had to come in. So we're just asking COVID really nicely to stay the way.
Yeah.
You know, just let us
pop it down, COVID. Give us a shot.
Yeah. And what we're looking for is to grow how many people know about us, because as I said, you can't unhear it, and we can all make a difference. So what we're looking for this year is to roar as loud as we can about period pride. So period pride is where we're asking everyday Australians to talk about their periods, to talk about menstruation.
Yep.
We also have a survey in there, which there has not been a survey anywhere around the world for more than 1,000 women to answer. We're looking for 10,000 women to answer, and girls, to answer this survey to help us to collect the data to be able to make the changes in government that we actually need. So
where do we do it?
Scotland. Sorry?
Where do we do it? Where do we do the survey?
Head to our website where the survey will be on there. You by Cotex are giving away a packet of pads for everyone who answers the survey to us. So that will make a massive difference as well. But we'll be able to actually make change with the data that we get. So those questions are things like, have you ever missed a day of work? Have you ever had to miss out on sport? Those questions have never been done on a mass number in the world. So we will be leading the world in regards to that sort of information to be able to make change.
What about you, Rochelle? You've just become a nana. Are you making time? Are you putting a little bit of this aside to have nana time?
Oh, my God. He is the most precious little thing ever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, absolutely. I am starting to find balance in my 50th year. That
Good.
Is what I'm looking for. But, yeah, I think Share the Dignity is also one of my babies.
Of course. Where do you see in 5 years' time this issue that you're tackling? What's the biggest thing that you can do and we can do as a community? Is it just to get talking to help tackle this issue? Will you be out of a job once we do?
I hope so. I mean, that would be the goal for anyone in charity, right, is to be able to have to, for my goal would be to have solved the solution. And
yeah.
But in saying that, I know that what we do is a very small part of one solution.
Yes.
If we could have more homes for women who are trying to flee domestic violence, if we could change the laws on women who are so scared to go to the shopping centre because their perpetrator is just stalking them somewhere, there is so much to do. And I'm really grateful for how far we've come, but there is so much more work
there
to do.
Is.
And, you know, there is a whole world out there that needs to have period poverty addressed. If we can nail it here in Australia, we will take that next to New Zealand, and then we will look at what's next from there. Because I did speak in 2019 on the world stage in Miami about ideas remaking the world, and the problem exists everywhere in the world. And we found a solution here in Australia that works. But unfortunately for our charity, IT is out where we're a little bit stuck, and it is it's a costly solution. So right now we're just trying to make sure that we've got it right here in Australia before we could go anywhere else.
Well, go you. And if you're listening tonight and want to help, sharethedignity.org.au or via Facebook on the Share the Dignity Facebook page, Twitter and Instagram as well. Rochelle Courtenay from Share the Dignity, thank you for being with us. It's been a fascinating chat.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And if you've enjoyed the chat with Rochelle, Michelle Courtenay from Share the Dignity tonight and you'd like to share it with a friend or listen again, subscribe to the podcast and tell your friend to listen to the show as well. This, of course, is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And join me the same time next week when we celebrate another great Australian life.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.